You're listening to the Fox and the Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi, Julie, you magnificent creature, you.
Oh, stop it, you.
I will not. Don't you dare tell me to stop telling you how amazing you are.
But also, we have a very special guest today. Ooh. So it's not just the two of us. We have an amazing star that has greeted you from the heavens, and you had a whole girls' night, and she's here today. And that is a lovely dear friend to the show and to Fox and Hanger, to me and to you. And that is Crystal. The lovely Crystal is here today.
This is Crystal B, the hostess with the mostess from the Outer Banks. If anybody doesn't know who Crystal is, look back in the podcast archives to know that my trip to the Outer Banks included this girl right here.
Yes, the artist formerly known as a jellyfish, people. I repeat, jellyfish.
That's right. If you know, you know.
Yes.
Ironically, I totally forgot about that. But yes, the girl formerly known as jellyfish
like
is here.
Reference.
Yes, in studio. As a musician, you should appreciate that very much.
Hi.
Crystal's in town, in studio, here with me in Spartanburg. We had a girls' night out with our other lovely friend, Leanne from Asheville. They all converged on scene here in Spartanburg, downtown Spartanburg. I was fortunate enough to hang with these girls. It was very low-key, unfortunately. Lots of rain this weekend, so any kind of outdoor plans we may have had were squashed. But we had an amazing time. We went, Julie, to the Irish pub for lunch.
I love that. That was when I was trying to FaceTime, but it failed. And we were both at restaurants, but didn't work. And that Irish pub was something that we discovered when I came to visit you.
Yes. And not only that, the server, Gracie, who was getting married, was planning on getting married when you came, is now married and was our server again. And I'm like, I think I remember you. She's like, yeah, I'm always your server when you're here. So she remembered me. And I was like, you look familiar. And I applaud anybody in the food industry who seems to have a great grasp on remembering people and faces. She was a delight. Fortunately for us, it was not a busy shift. So she had time to hang with us and we're chatting it up with her and having a good time. So we had a beautiful meal. I had fish and chips.
What did you have, Crystal?
I had a steak, marinated steak.
Savannah
wanted some of it.
I know, I forgot. And you know how last time, Julie, when we were so full, we didn't get dessert?
Yeah, and then we came back the next day for dessert.
Yeah. I was stupid enough to eat the same meal and still be stuffed again. So Leanne and Crystal had dessert, and I said, I'm too full.
Oh.
Yeah, we'll go again at some point. So we had a beautiful, we just chilling and having a good conversation. And then we just walked back through the drizzle back to the hotel. We hung out in the lobby until 5 and then went up to level 10, baby, at the AC Hotel, level 10. It's a beautiful bar and restaurant. And we basically hung out at a side high top that is not a reserve section and got drinks and just were continuing the adventure there. I had a beautiful interaction with the woman behind Crystal at check-in who was talking about, aren't you cold in that? Because I was wearing like a mini dress and I had my white hair and boots. I'm like, no, I mean, actually, it's just, I'm feeling really good. She's like, because I'm so hot. Menopause is my best friend. And I'm like, listen, I still want to be you. And she's like, well, you could take my menopause. And I'm like, hold on. What else you got? Sweeten the deal with something else. She's like, oh, you can have my nice boobs too. I'm like, all right, now we're talking.
Of course you made friends with the person behind you. Typical. But I have one question. After you ate and were full and didn't have room for dessert, did it that you went back to the hotel? Was this all like a natural progression? Was it something that you discussed before in terms of plans with your logical Larry approach? First, we'll do this, then we'll do a tight, we'll go back to the hotel, we'll chill. Or did just like, how are you feeling? don't know.
I will say that I was, as the city hostess, I felt like I was supposed to be like planning and getting everything all lined up. And we talked, I don't know, just rudimentally like a week ago about, hey, are there Christmas lights to go see and blah, blah, blah. Right. I said, I don't know. I looked up some things and I said, well, in Spartanburg, it's really tight and small, but it's really just a lovely area. And Leanne's like, you know what? I'm down for just chilling. It's like, I don't need a bunch of stuff to be planned. So we basically went into the weekend with no plan.
Free balling.
Showing up when they showed up. Yes, free balling it. Showing up when people showed up. And then I said, hey, do you guys want to eat? So we went to Irish Pub. And then we found out when the hotel bar was opening. And we said, hey, do you guys just want to go back to the hotel? And we did. And we hung out from 5 to 10 at the hotel bar.
So, all right, first of all, can I just say that this brings me so much excitement because I like Crystal. I love Leanne. I love Crystal. I love you. I think between the two guests that came to see you, I have formed such deep-rooted connection with them. When I say it felt like I was there in spirit, it really did. There was probably like a hard 25% that was sheer, my inner child was like sheer raging and like semi-jealous because I really want to be there. But I am so happy that this occurred, that this manifested. It's all of you are so deserving of this kind of social time. I wouldn't say that there's someone that gets a ton of social time versus the other person. I think that anytime a group of CD, trans, whatever it is that makes you in a certain group truly unique, whenever you get together, it's magic. I mean, my heart is just bursting with excitement that you got to share this time together, play host a little bit. And I want to know, Crystal, how, from your perspective, how was this time?
Absolutely wonderful. Leanne was one of the, along with Savannah, was one of the earliest people I reached out to when I was making those initial friends. And Leanne, because she can't sleep at night, was often up at night. And when I first came out, there was a lot of angst. And I was up in the middle of the night and Leanne was right there firing back, offering support.
Hmm.
So, and this girl here.
Yeah. I think if the timeline is correct in my head, I think we all met around that same time.
Yes.
I think when you met Leanne, I met Leanne. And there's been this nice parallel between discovering the books and the podcast and where you are now in terms of both of your discoveries around your femininity, and both you and Leanne being, and Savannah for that matter, and me maybe, being the kind of people that say, hey, this is something inside me that I haven't had time to explore. I'm at the right time, at the right place to look at this in all its factors. I've lived a good life as a man. I know both of you have very different stories as well as similar in terms of your parallels when you discovered that it may not be a 50-50 split or I did this in childhood. But it's nice to have a sister go along a similar trajectory, you and Leanne, and just open up and just have a soulmate in this process, as well as some resources and more friendships and Savannah and myself. So it's been really amazing to watch. And just, I feel so fortunate that we get to watch your story open up like a blossom.
Can't think of better people to share it with.
Aw, you guys. Right now, I'm at my in-laws and do you see a burst of sunlight?
Oh, yeah. It's coming right off that photo. Yeah, you're like an angel over there.
I try to move the computer, but
I think if you move like maybe the photo frame, it's coming off like I think one of the photos.
Yeah,
because otherwise it's too. Well, that's anyway. It's all good.
Whatever.
Of your angelic nature, it's fine.
Exactly. Who am I to try to darken the angelic being that it is? Right. Exactly.
Fine. I will say, speaking of making friends, we made another amazing couple of friends last night. Aside from Austin, our server. So shout out to Level 10. Austin, our server, was amazing all night long. I can't say enough about him. I mean, he actually did remember me from previous engagements. So I think that, again, amazing. The servers remember faces of people, and I haven't been there in months. I will also say I will keep their names private, but we met a lovely couple who just sat at our high top because they're waiting for a table. And instantly, Southern Belle charm coming through, and she's just wanting to know all about us and wouldn't let her poor husband get a word in. And he was asking about, he was very interested in Crystal and her story, which we'll get into in a minute. Just asking all about us, where we're from, what do we do, what our names are. We exchanged a business card. So I reached out to him this morning to let them know how amazing they were. They went to get their table, and we were so upset late we're leaving because it was we're having such a great time. And then then the man comes back. They never got their table because we kept them so long. So they missed their table. But they end up meeting other friends at the other side of the bar they hadn't seen in 15 years. But then he comes back and is really super engaging, wanting to know more and more about us, asking about Crystal's story, and just lovely. And again, we are in the South. We are in South Carolina, in the upstate. And these people, both the woman at the check-in was from Greenville. I believe the couple, she was from Mississippi, and I think he might be from here. And just lovely, engaging people, completely just at ease and in love with everything we're doing. They couldn't have made us more comfortable. It was just that good of an experience. And that's what I want to also tell people. Three trans girls out on the town, enjoying our evening, and people sit with us because they have no place else to sit at the moment, and completely just locked in and just wanting to know. And we were engaged with them, and I thought it was amazing. I can't say enough. And again, I hope that there will be a budding friendship with this couple we met, and I will be the arbiter between the three of us until everybody wants to engage. And yeah, look forward to that. With that being said, I wanted to, because Crystal is our guest today, Crystal, if you could tell us a little bit about your trans journey.
Okay. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And so I'm 63 years old. I've been cross-dressing my entire life. Started about 5 years old. Had a lot of opportunities when I was a kid, so I did it a lot. But it went on hold in more recent years. My wife's at home more often now. Time wasn't right for coming out in the 60s and the 70s, even the 80s. And like you were saying earlier, Julie, I'm at that point in my life. I'm coming up on retirement. I've raised my kids. I have two grown kids, both of them married. Got the retirement fund built. And I'm like, why not? Why can't I? I've got to let my wife. So in March, I came out to my wife as a cross-dresser. My kids, shortly thereafter, they've been super, super supportive. My wife as well, very hard for her. She's 100% cisgendered straight. And the latest part of my journey now is I've been getting out and moving forward. You mentioned on the podcast, you use the analogy once of a train, and we're all on that transgender train. And some of us get off on the first stop, and it's a once a week. And mine's been growing more and more. Next week, I plan on starting hormone replacement therapy.
So exciting.
Yes. And Leanne has recently started hers. So like you were saying, it's so wonderful to have a sister who's going through the same.
Very true. Very true.
So amazing. Obviously, this is a very difficult thing to navigate, but she's in it. She's amazing. Savannah's met her, and we're working it out.
Tell us, I'm leading the witness because I know the stories I want to hear about. Tell us about when you came out to your mother.
Yes. Okay. So my mother, she's 85 years old, grew up on a farm in the South, rural area. But I will say my mother's family, for people of that age, they're pretty progressive. My grandfather was having black people over his house in the 60s in a rural area where that just was like unheard of. So they're pretty open-minded. The church I was raised in was pretty open-minded. But LGBTQ is still, that's a hard one for them to wrap their head.
Right.
But, my mom was coming to my youngest son's wedding. Everyone there knew except her. So I nervously go spend a day with her, and I'm telling my mom, and I said, I'm stumbling. I'm making the comparisons to Caitlin, and she says in her Southern, "You got the pull to the feminine? Is that what you're saying?"
that's
a good way to put it. So then my next question to my mom, I was like, "Mom, I was cross-dressing, wearing your clothes, raiding your closet all the time. I was taking your clothes up into the woods and camping out so I could cross-dress in the evening by the campfire. Surely you smelled smoke on your clothes, something. I screwed up. I left something out." She said, "No, I never had any clue." And then she said, "But I'll tell you one thing. I did walk in on your father once wearing my panties."
And so it begins.
Yes. And so the other part of that is, she tells me a little more and says, leading up to that, he was telling me when I would buy things, you buy that too small. And my mom's really tiny ladies. You need a looser fit. You need to get something bigger. And then she noticed her lingerie was making its way from her drawer into his drawer.
Whoa.
She never found any of it in my drawer, but
honestly, you were better at hiding than your father was.
And the other part of the story, my dad was very anti-LGBT, gay, lesbian, trans, any of that. And right. Very vocal about it. He had a lot of issues. He was bipolar and had a lot of anger pent up. And I suspect a lot of it now may have been pushing this. He's passed away now. And I got him into a good place before he passed away. Got him in assisted living. Maybe it was pushing this down. And the week prior to this, I think it was only a week or two, I was out with another girl in Raleigh. She said two things happened. Once, when she was a teenager in the 70s, her father found her brother and her stash of weed, which was up in the top of the closet, brought them in and grilling them, and they're getting in all this trouble. This girl was really nervous because she knew right next to the weed was her stash of clothes.
Oh, shit.
And the father never mentioned it. And she had to have seen it. He never brought it up. And then when the father passed away recently, this girl's my age too, in her 60s, they were cleaning out the house and going through the stuff. And there was a secret room in the house with wigs and makeup. And
wow.
Yeah. Which is
tradition.
Yes. Yes. When Crystal told me this story, instantly fascinated. It raises a question, and I'll just throw one anecdote here before I raise the question, which is, I knew somebody on Long Island who was a maternal twin. Now, that one twin that I knew specifically was cross-dressing at the time, and had told me that their twin had already transitioned. And then maybe 6 months to a year later, they came out to say they were also transitioning, which was like, wow, how amazing and crazy is it that two twins, maternal twins, transition like from male to female. It's just, it seemed to me unheard of. But as Crystal and I were doing some research this morning, and she had done research previously, it's actually a lot more prevalent if you have a transitioning twin, maternal, I believe, that it is actually, what, 40%?
Yes.
Like, it's 40% likely the other twin would transition as well. So that was like mind-blowing to me, just in general, like on this genetic scale.
Right.
But then coming back to what Crystal's saying, two instances where, you're trans, your father, Is this a hereditary thing? Is this been passed down?
It's like you have that question. And then there are these strange moments where it makes me believe in past lives, magic. I don't know what it is. It feels like a stew of all the stuff. It makes me think about, I had moved to San Francisco when I was 26. Never moved away for college. Did this big thing. And then my father passed away shortly after I moved. And I found out maybe last year that he had this dream before he got married to move to San Francisco and start a law practice. And I had never known that. That is, San Francisco had never been something that was in the rhetoric of my home. I never knew he was interested. But it's just one of those things that makes you go, huh. There's genetics, and then there's just something that maybe as a child, you got a flash, maybe as like a 3-month-old, you got a little flash of daddy's heels or just like something that made some imprint that you didn't even know existed. There are these parallels between child and parent that often just coexist and you don't know about them for a while. And then you do, whether it be genetics or
or maybe genetics
or a little bit of both. It's strange and magical.
It seems magical, right? Because we have no data or proof or anything to really describe historically or statistically that father passed down to son and we're all trans. Crystal and I were talking at Starbucks this morning about, what is it? Like, we'll never know prior to this generation. Because as Chris would say, your father's passed. So we're never going to know the truth about, other than anecdotally through your mother, your friends finding out the father had a secret room with all their transy stuff. Don't know what that meant, if it was just fetishy or a secreted life that they just didn't know how to come out. Now that we are in the 21st century and people are becoming more and more comfortable, not completely, but more and more comfortable, like myself, to put non-binary on my medical forms, and to be more open about my identity, I think we may have more statistical data from this point forward, if somebody does a 20-year study, defined, like the twins. Oh, yeah, you know that 30% of transgender fathers have transgender children. Male to female, female to male, you don't know. So I will be amazed in a few years if and when that study is done, because when we did look this morning, there was a lot of anecdotal information or idea or theses about what it means for people like us. But even it said in the article, information is scarce and scant, that they're really
right.
able to prove it's true. But the fact that Crystal's sitting here saying, yeah, there's my story. I know another girl with the same story and et cetera, it just seems like there's got to be some truth, mystical or not, about it.
Right, right. Or something in the biology for this gender queerness or transgenderness. I don't know. It just feels like a ancestral warm hug. It just, it's validating, I can imagine, Crystal.
It was actually a third incident. Last Sunday, I was at a holiday potluck for a transgender non-binary support group I go to. And one of the non-binary members I know, actually a transmasculine, their partner is non-binary. And they came up to me and said, how's it going, Crystal? And said, oh, you know what? By the way, my father in Japan at the age of 75 just came out as trans. And this is the transmasculine. person who's saying my father is transitioning to female or came out, the father's kind of reluctant to transition, say, well, I'm old now, what's the point?
Right, right.
She just wanted me to call her dad and offer some encouragement. But that's yet enough. And I've only been out since March. So that's
right.
Yeah, it's anecdotal, but it's, I mean,
it's starting to build. It's starting to build upon itself as, wow, if I just start making a list. Oh, and I want to do a shout out for you, Julie. Our dear friend Dottie from my Starbucks escapades reached out to me last night during girls' night.
Yeah.
And I was like, why is Dottie calling me? She never calls me. What's going on? So I texted her back. I'm like, hey, did you mean to call me? She was like, absolutely. I have something I want to tell you. And I want to ask about Julie. That's you. You, Julie.
Me? So, me? I'm looking behind me.
Hello. So she...
Hello, my darling.
Oh, she's amazing. So she reached out to me today and said, hey, I just want to let you know, I just found out or recently found out that my grandson is transitioning to female and said, hey, and can you give me some information about Julie's services? So I hooked her up with some links for you. This is an aside, but said that this young woman had a lot of hesitation to know like what her fashion was. So mom had to swoop in a little and say, hey, let's do it together and we can put stuff together. Maybe there'll be a shining star in your near future, I hope, that you can connect with as well.
Thank you. That is so sweet. And I think that all these shining stars, that whether it's an awareness of what Fox and Hanger does or connection that's made, any parent or family member that says, okay, I'm here with you, but let's go and see what else is out there that can give us additional support is amazing. And as everyone is talking and I'm listening and I'm looking at all three of us, I realize all of us approached our trans story or my relationship to trans individuals in a very specific way. And that's the idea that there wasn't anything like what we needed in the world. So we created it. Savannah, there wasn't a book that you can really show Judy to really understand. So what happened? You created it. You reached out to different couples. You created this resource for people that is still like a Bible for many today. Crystal, you had this awareness. You made these magical connections and you took the connections you have and you said, okay, let me create a world. Mm-hmm. And you created a world within your church. You created a world within the people you're with. And for myself, I didn't really see a world where there were parents really knowing what to do with their trans youth. I didn't see a world where there was a safe place for closeted crossdressers, closeted trans individuals to go and feel seen and feel heard. There wasn't a place for trans individuals to say, this is how I identify, but how does that affect my identity on the outside? And I can't figure that out. With the three of us, with our powers combined, we really have created a world that we want to see that didn't exist before we decided to take action. I don't give myself credit a lot, but staring at all of us together, I can really give some props to the work that we do and how we decided to approach our curiosity in a way that really became a calling. As soon as I knew that there was a need for the kind of image consulting that I do, especially among trans women, all these years ago, it was that moment that I said, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. it was very much a, this is who I am. Now, what am I going to do about it? And the next day I created the style questionnaire. And I think it's really profound just sitting with both of you today and just really marveling at what we have done with our own stuff to create a resource for people.
Yes, thank you. And kudos to you, absolutely, because I feel that way about you. And conversely, I don't accolade myself enough. But again,
and Crystal.
I want to get to Crystal in a minute.
Yeah.
She's got all sorts of things I want her to plug. I did mine out of a sense of need, not thinking it was going to be a far-reaching resource or Bible.
Right.
I will never go as far to say it's the Bible, but I do appreciate when people do say that because that's how it affected them. Now, Crystal, you've taken your journey, and do you want to plug any of the organizations or places that you have helped in your area so that people in your area can find them?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, a number of resources. So one of them, one of the first groups I joined, there's a group called Transcend Alamance. Just Google it. They have a website. They have support group meetings. They have things for adults and things for kids. The potluck I went to on Sunday, queer potluck, that was with Transcend Alamance. So they're in Burlington, North Carolina, near Elon College. There is a trans group in Raleigh that's affiliated with the LGBTQ pop-up center in Raleigh. Go there. You have to, it's hidden. You got to go look on the calendar and you will see meetings for non-binary and trans. And these are adults. What I was finding was there were a lot more resources for parents of children and young adults, but there wasn't a lot for the older adults.
Okay.
So one of the things I'm building, my wife and I are having a party on to get some of the community together on in January. And it's mainly just to make connections. I have a friend in Raleigh who's a 78-year-old trans woman from upstate New York. She was actually an organizer of a lot of the groups up there back in the beginning. And she wants to see this get going. So we're talking about actually having a designated person. And I'm in the triangle. I'm in Chapel Hill. So Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, Raleigh, Durham. Have a representative in each one and form these groups where we do what we did last night with three of us. Maybe there's 10 of us and we go to a local concert. It's one of the community events and we're there in mass. So we normalize this. People see us. We engage like we did last night with the people and let them ask questions and make this a normal thing.
Yeah. Like I said,
it is.
It is. It really is.
Yeah.
And I want to tie this all together. Your journey has skyrocketed within the last year, year and a half, and you saw a need because you didn't see local resources and you chose to say, you know what? I'm not going to wait for a resource to present itself. I'm going to be a part of that. And I love that because that is what all three of us do or have done is catapult ourselves because we felt a need to create something as a creative or as a service or as a safe space. And I love that. And I think that's an amazing thing that you've chosen to do. And I think it's super, super important. I wish I had more time to be that ambassador as well. I appreciate that you can do it. So anybody in the Chapel Hill, Raleigh, Durham, in Greensboro area, like look you up. And we will put information in the show notes for the organizations in places you've talked about so they can find it. And yeah, I just love that. And I just love the fact that as we're sitting here, I still marvel at the fact of my curiosity and fascination for new things.
Mm-hmm.
So when Crystal was telling me this story, and the reason why this episode was not recorded earlier is because you took a road trip with your mom to that wedding. You're like, well, I'm going to get more information after I talk to her. And I'm like, oh my God, I want all the tea. Give me all the tea. Spill it. So I wanted to have this conversation earlier, but again, serendipitously, you're here.
Yes.
After that road trip and able to bring it all together. And I love that. And I want to say one more thing. Again, you talked about being really supported in your journey. At this wedding, who was it that said, was it your daughter?
My daughter-in-law. Yes. So they were over at the house. It was the first she had seen pictures of me, but they dropped in one evening and I was headed out and I was dressed. This Crystal's first time. She said, oh, you look beautiful. And then my wife says, God, I'm getting worried. My dress hasn't come on time. So I jokingly said, oh my God, I got to get my dress too. And my daughter-in-law said, oh, of course you do. I'm like, oh my God, she didn't miss a beat. And I said, nah, I'm not going to, I just came out. I don't want to like, you know, your parents or that. She's like, my parents know. And I said, yeah, but it's going to be kind of a thing. This is your day. I'm not there to steal your thunder. But
upstage the bride.
Santa says, oh, I would have totally done it. Well, don't think I didn't want to.
I probably was kidding because again, I wouldn't want to steal I don't want to be anything awkward and take away from somebody's special day. Ironically, Crystal shared with me yesterday, the married couple did this whole choreographed three-song thing where there was like strip teasing involved and clothes flying off. And I'm saying to Crystal, I don't think anybody would even notice you at that point with the way they were carrying on. So you would have just been background noise at that point. What I did see was amazing, and it looked like they're having a fantastic time. So as we wrap this all up, and actually, Julie, do you have any other questions you want to ask of Crystal while she's here?
It's more statements. One, I love you.
Aww.
Two, it has been the greatest gift watching you grow and develop and, you know, strap on your tits and get out there in the community, first of all. Really? It was that too much?
There was a story from last night that involved tits, and we could talk about that off air, but it was...
No, just give me a little bit.
So the people we met, the lovely couple we met, that man was pointing out how pointy her nipples were through her garment, and we all had to laugh about, like, hey, our eyes are up here. And he said, without missing a beat, and I love this, I want to write this down somewhere, listen, I've been a man a long time, and that's just what happens.
About staring at the tits.
It was like the best thing ever. We were crying, having such a good time with this couple.
Right. You ladies probably stared at the tits, but in the way of, I want those, or I wonder what that's like. And what did they say? Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys. Yes. And he owned it, and we appreciate you for owning it.
There's also something that's in my brain, and the way that my ADD works is if I have something to say, even if it's semi-related, not related, if I don't say it, it just feels like a low-hanging fruit, if you will, in my brain. So I'm going to just share it right now. So you were saying, Savannah, 7 minutes ago, it could be 10, who knows? It's podcast time, baby. That you in no means consider yourself have written a Bible.
Correct.
Okay? With your books. So I just want to tell you that how long have we been doing this podcast?
4 years.
4 years. And when I first met you, I had an appreciation for heterosexual men that are attracted to the feminine. I had an appreciation for the fact cross-dressing can be a vehicle towards figuring out who you truly are. But I didn't have the language. I didn't have the stories. I didn't have what I needed in the world to really gain information so that I can help the audience that we are supporting today. And so I remember being outside reading your book and literally screaming out loud. My neighbors probably thought I was crazy. Thank you. Thank you. This is what I want to know. This is the nitty gritty. This is the tea, as you said. Like, this breaks down everything, all the different facets for how this could look and all the complexities. I got so much out of the first book, so much out of the second book, to the point where I have a full understanding and appreciation for the medicine-like qualities that your book has for people, 100%. And that medicine has translated into the work I do with crossdressers today. Now, there was such a separate push and pull to what I thought transgender was, and you remember this, to what I think it is now, to which I felt very loyal to the people who have never experienced this day in their life as their biology. I was very protective of these people. I was very confused about not wanting to be a solely cross-dressing, I'm really here for the trans, but the cross-dressers need help, and I don't want to be this or that. And just learning over time and over hearing more and more and more and more transgender stories is that it's all the same. It all relates. And you and I had a very tense episode where I had my, what I believe transgender was, and you had your, what it is for you and how it's true for you. And it felt very, most of the episode that we were recording, I had my hand over my face because I felt very much, who would I be offending? I felt very much, oh gosh, an awareness that I was a gatekeeper of some sort. It was very confusing. And so to be able to sit with you today, having grown and gotten so much out of that book and have allowed your books to help so many people, it is a Bible. It is a Bible to so many, especially those living in the Bible Belt, if you will. It has helped heal me and give a better understanding so that I can have conversations with my in-laws, with my conservative in-laws, so that I can be the expert to people that have no idea. I have an idea, and every time I forget, I have a resource. I hope what you hope for me, Savannah, and that's that we never undermine the work that we did, because we did it. Whether we want to blame it on there being a need or a greater power, as I sometimes do, it's easy for us to forget. And it's very easy for me to forget. I can speak personally to my experience, how profound the work we have done and are continue to do is for people, and how meaningful it is. Because I often get lost in the minutia of finding clothes online. You know what I mean? This cut works. Sometimes I lose track of my why. And I know that every time I meet with you and do this podcast, every time a new episode comes out, every time I get an email from someone or a picture from someone wearing something that I just tuned into their body knowing, like, that reminds me. It's a reminder every day of why we do this and why it's important and how we honestly created something bigger than ourselves.
Definitely.
And isn't that what it's all about? Creating something bigger than ourselves with a bigger cause that helps so many people. Yes. As we continue to figure it out ourselves. So,
and I think that's the problem. I don't think people are typically used to building something bigger than themselves.
No, it's very rare. I feel, and I know all three of us share this, a responsibility. And sometimes the idea of I feel a responsibility to get it right, that kind of pressure, it can leave me frozen. It can leave me walking away from my work for a week and just being like, it's too much, because I want to get it right. And I want to, you know, these clothes that I pick out, they're protectors, they're, you know, uniforms, they keep people safe. And that is nothing short of something to take completely seriously when it's just clothes. It's all clothes, baby. It's fun. It's fashion. It's flirty. But it's really serious to me. And I know the work you do in your writing is really serious to you. And I know creating a world that is safe for transgender individuals like yourself, Crystal, and being able to bring people in your home and create holiday, that is profound. It's simple on paper. It's easy to understand, but it's profound in the nature of trans people don't have a place to call home. And so every place that kind of feels like home or places that are invented to be home, it's huge. So yeah, I just wanted to get that off my chest before we end this beautiful episode that I'm so thankful for, because it would be amiss not to bring it up.
Agreed.
Yeah.
I want to prolong this because Crystal's here. Without giving away names, can you tell the story of the neighbor?
Oh, yes.
And like what you're willing to do.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So I have on the Outer Banks, our vacation home, we have a neighbor who's a very nice man. He's retired physician, in fact. And he was going through a rough spot. And he was over sharing it with me just this summer. And so I thought, well, we're sharing secrets. And he's got pretty open-minded. So I told him about myself, and he said, wow, thank you for telling me that, because my daughter's previously, who she thought was her daughter, has now come out as trans masculine. So my grandson is trans and is transitioning middle school age. And my daughter's going to be so happy to hear this, but because the child is feeling a little odd when she comes down here, because it's Eastern North Carolina and it's. But I told Tom, I said, I'll be okay to tell your daughter, and I'll call your daughter. And I was telling Savannah this morning that next summer, if it gets to the point that this kid is not comfortable, I'll go ahead and come out for the kid, you know. And I said, come on down here, and I'll sit out there as Crystal with you, and we'll be together.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm getting welled up right now. I've heard the story. This is not the third time hearing it. Yeah. For some reason, I'm like getting very, very welled up. That is such a brave thing to do and so selfless thing to do for somebody that you know needs that kind of support, to put yourself at that, let's just call it a greater risk for somebody else's safety and happiness. And that's just
amazing. And it's a child.
Yes.
It's a teenager. It's a, and that's why opening Fox and Hanger to non-binary trans teens is, it's necessary and it's a non-negotiable in my mind. And I think that when it comes to supporting someone that has a lifetime to live, I think it's really that much easier for us to step up and do something that says, you're in a more vulnerable place than me. So let me sit with you, come into my house. We'll be trans together. We are trans together. And let me show you what unconditional love looks like from a trans to trans space.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less from you, Crystal. That's who I know you to be. And that's just a beautiful, as the Jews say, it's a mitzvah. It's a good deed. And It's not surprising at all. And it's necessary. So thank you for sharing that. So this was a beautiful episode and so special. And I was just wondering, before we wrap everything in a bow again, a double knotted bow, if you have anything that you'd like to say about your experience visiting the podcast, your life, anything you want to say.
Oh, sure. Just again, thanks to the two of you, because again, we were convening right there in the very beginning. You really helped me get this thing started. I created stuff, but I couldn't have done it without that initial, because I had no connection to the community at all. So the two of you, and you were so supportive. I think you even got my wife involved. That was when the questions for Judy, mm-hmm. and she was able to contribute. And Savannah's talked to my wife. Well, obviously she visited, but even then talked to her directly. So it's just wonderful. Again, and you don't get paid for this. You're just doing it out of community service.
Oh, the bill's in the mail.
Yeah.
Invoices in the mail that you work.
But yeah, thank you. And it's been amazing. One last plug I will make is for my friend, she will not mind me using this name, Song Arthur, as Bella Wig Studio in Raleigh, North Carolina. Any of you girls, she loves working with trans ladies. She's wonderful. And she has a whole line of beauty stuff she does. She can work on your eyebrows and Botox and all sorts of things. So
dang, I need
go
to know.
See Song.
All right. So love we'll, it. Also put, we'll also put that in the show notes as well. So.
All right.
Bella Wig Studio. Love it. Well, I know that I can speak for Savannah when I say, Crystal, this was a gift and our pleasure. And we hope you come back really, really soon. I know the listeners have just experienced a real treat listening to this episode, and we don't know how far it reaches in terms of help and support for others. So we can only be thankful that you're here and wish you a wonderful day and a safe travel back to your home.
Yes.
I hope you don't have bad traffic and there's no accidents and stuff. It's smooth sailing and beautiful skies.
Well, sailing, we can maybe say the beautiful skies, a little drizzly today, but she's got a lovely, lovely, huge truck, and she will be very excited.
Yes.
And don't forget, you'd have a fully dressed without a smile. That's Annie.
Oh, thank you. Oh, okay. That's what I've been missing this whole time. Oh, okay.
All right. Bye for now.
Until next time.
Bye. Bye until next time.
She's just stealing my stuff, man. I don't know what to say. That's too much. You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's HAUK. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2024.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.